art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Let's lift up our hands and just worship God this morning. What a beautiful day. What a wonderful day in the presence of the Lord. Come on, lift your voice. Worship Him. Bless His holy name. Go ahead and appreciate Him this morning. Bless His holy name. Lambrode Sagarabosa. Come on, sing a new song. Open your mouth. Lift Him up and rush. Bless His holy name. We worship. We bless you, Jesus. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you here. We know you are here already, but we welcome you afresh in this place to accomplish that which you have in mind. For today, since the foundation of the world, that person that you have marked for increase, that person that you have marked for favor, that person that you have marked for promotion, that person that you have marked for a change of levels, the Lord, everything you have in mind will be accomplished today in the name of Jesus. We ask that you have your way in our midst. Let your word go forth in power, O Lord. Let it proceed in the strength of the Almighty. Blessing lives, mixing with faith in our heart to profiting and causing us to get to that place where you have in mind for us in the name of Jesus. As your word will be coming forth, we ask, O Lord, and we speak forth, that you will do that which is good in our lives in the name of Jesus. In our finances, in our career, in our academics, concerning our jobs, concerning our home, our families, our spouses, our children. We ask that you do that which is good in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all the testimonies shared this morning on this altar. We return all the glory to your name. And we know that it's just the beginning of outpouring of your spirit, releasing and unleashing all kinds of testimonies in our midst. We give you all the praise. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody shout. I can hear your voice, come on, shout. Ask your neighbor if this shout of Grace Center. Come on, somebody give a shout. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you this morning. We welcome you specially to shout of Grace Center. It's going to be an awesome time in God's presence. Let's have our seat this morning. Glory to God. My mother, she's not mother-in-law. My mother is watching with us this morning. Please, can you help me appreciate her? Amen. Amen. Pastor Mrs. Terrell, she pastors a branch of Mountain of Fire Miracles Church in the city of Abeokuta. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you ready this morning?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for that which is good? Help me prophesy to somebody around you, that which is good is coming your way. Oh, your neighbor didn't respond, but look for another neighbor. Tell that neighbor, that which is good is coming your way in the name of Jesus. Stand upon your feet, look for three people, prophesy into their lives. Tell them something good. That which is good is being orchestrated in your life. That which is good is coming your way. That which is good in is aggregating in your direction. If you believe it, shout amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. There are too many people at the back there. If you don't have any business there, please sit with the congregation. Don't distract us here. Amen. All right, we're looking at the topic, that which is good. Amen. And my prayer is that God is going to do that which is good in your life in the name of Jesus. Yes. Are you with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Let's begin by understanding the fact that the Bible is a book of meetings and gatherings. Our lives is all about meetings and gatherings. I hope you know when they gave birth to you, there was a meeting. There was a meeting as regards your naming ceremony. Which day? Okay, what are we going to buy? Okay, let's buy Origin Zero. Okay, let's buy this and that. And then there's a meeting. And before you get married, as a lady, I'm sure your dad has called you for one meeting or the other. Are you here with me? Okay. If you are the man in the house, especially if you are the first man, oh, you will attend several meetings or lead several meetings. You discover that your life really is about meetings and gatherings and decisions. Before you come to the age of accountability, they have meetings over you and decide for you. But after a while, you start having meeting of your own. Are you with me? And one of the most beautiful things to do, and the point to get to, is to learn how to have meeting with Jehovah over your life, over your destiny, over your progress, over what you are supposed to do. Are you with me? So we see that it's just about meetings. By the time you want to go and ask a lady out, what are you doing with that lady? You're actually having a meeting with her. You are proposing something. Is that not it? You are presenting a manifesto. And God help you if she does not agree. Because the thing about meetings is that there must be agreement. Otherwise, they will say meeting continues next month. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Have you been in some family meetings where they argue for the whole day with no decision? They say, and somebody walks out, and then the other person walks out. There's no conclusion. So they call for more meetings. And if somebody is angry, who come for that meeting? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So meetings are powerful. Hardly will you get anything done without having a meeting. When you get married, you start having a meeting with your wife. You start having a meeting with your kids. If there's no constant communication with your wife, your spouse, or your children, the family will go apart. And the consequences will show. Most of the time, the children will grow up dysfunctional. Because there's an absentee father. Or there's a mother that was not really there. Or a father that was there but is not really there. So meetings are very, very powerful. Meetings are so much powerful that even God himself holds meetings. Are you here with me?
Yes, sir.
That is why church meetings are very powerful. Somebody said, why must I go to church every time? Why? Because you need life.
Yes, sir.
Why must you eat every time? Why didn't you say, okay, for the next 6 months, I'm not eating? What's going to happen to such a person? He's going to emaciate and then eventually he's going to die. A lot of believers are dying because they don't know what it means to have an appointment with Jehovah, to fix an appointment with their Creator and sit down with Him and plead their case that they may be justified, and then God will do that which is good in their lives. You have to learn to come to the place of His presence, where you articulate yourself, verbalize yourself, and tell God why He should bless you with certain things. You have to learn to present your case before Him. And one of the things that robs us from meetings is sin. See, when one of the kids in the house, one of the children in the house, has been messing around, he's an armed robber somewhere, and he's known nationally as an armed robber. When the father calls for a meeting, he won't show up because he's a bad boy. He's sinning out there. What robs us from constantly meeting with our God is sin. That is why the book of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly. Because you can't walk with fear and trepidation towards the throne of God. You have to have an attitude of boldness. And what robs you of your boldness is the righteous are as bold as a lion. Yes, are you with me this morning?
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we see in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. The first time we see God holding a meeting, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man. God was holding a meeting here with the Trinity. Let us make man in our image. In the Amplified Version, the Bible says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image. So that even God is holding a meeting. Meetings are powerful. Let me tell you, neighbor, meetings are very powerful. I'm going somewhere, you've got to follow me. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 26, verse 22, we see God calling for another meeting, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. See, God was calling the meeting, talking to the Trinity. In Genesis 11:7, we see God calling another meeting because man has decided to build a tower that will reach to the very heavens, and the Bible makes us to understand they were going to achieve their aim. Only God knows what kind of technology they were using. Actually, when you look at the history or the church history, it has been said and concluded that intellectual prowess, abilities, creativity actually decreased because of sin. It decreased with time. Adam, who is a man like us, is no more supernatural than we are. In fact, we are more supernatural because Jesus lives on our inside. But Adam, as a man, named all the animals, every single one, and God agreed, you have done well. He didn't say, why do you name this one baboon? It should be a lion. God agreed. And when you look at a baboon, it behaves like a baboon. He looks like at a lion, roars like a lion. The names are perfect. All the ones that we are doing as an improvement, say the botanical name, Adam named everything. Forget about botanical, don't confuse us here. Say botanical name is Paparazzi Peperezzi. Don't confuse us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was the level of intellectual prowess. Now these people had whatever technology they had, they were going to make a building that will be as tall as heaven. They want to climb that building to meet God where he is. And in Genesis, God said, these people will do what they have said they will do. God didn't say leave them, they are just wasting time. He said they will achieve because they are one. And then God had to call for another meeting in Genesis 11. He said, God told, let us go down. That was God speaking, and therefore confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Meaning that from before that time, the whole humanity was speaking one language. So their ability to build that tower was the advantage of focus, unison, unity, one language. When you see a husband and a wife speaking different languages, they are on their way to separation or divorce. When you see the father, the mother, the children speaking different languages, there's going to be a problem. In Genesis 11, God came down and confounded their language. So this one said, pass me the brick near the kilo saw. Then somebody replied in Igbo, you know, from the side right, this man came, brand boom, bang, bang. Hello, somebody. Then somebody replied from outside, kachiku, kakakinke. You know, that's how it normally sounds. Hallelujah. So God confounded their language, but thank God, because in the book of Acts of Apostles, there was a restoration of the language. Bible said they had themselves in their own language. Glory to God. And God gave us one language again. This time around, it's not the tongue of human beings, it's the tongue of angels, supernatural, wherein we can communicate with God in mysteries. Come on, shout hallelujah. So we see here, God holding another meeting. And when we see the life of Jesus Christ, he was holding meetings over and over again. John 5, 7. Jesus answered them, "My Father walketh, hitherto I walk." In other words, I'm in constant communication with my Father. Whatever he's doing is what I'm doing. Just follow me. I'm going somewhere this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 to 8. We see these different forces in heaven and in earth having different meetings and coming into agreement, because if they were not in agreement, nothing was going to happen. In 1 John 5, 7 to 8, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And then in verse 8, "There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." The moment any of these three disagree, either in heaven or on earth, things are going to get chaotic. And there will be disorder. So we see that agreement is powerful. And now we've established the fact that the meetings are powerful, meetings are necessary. Now let's go back to our anchor text for today's, which is Psalm 85 and in verse 12. The Bible says, yeah. Come on, say yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, say yeah.
Yeah.
The Bible says the promises of God, they are yeah and amen in him. In other words, if your desire is consistent with his will, God will do it.
Yes, sir.
God is not the type of father that he has. And say, shut up! Get out! If you ask that again, I will knock your head. You will meet me in paradise today. That's not God. He's full of tender mercies. The only time he doesn't answer you probably is if what you're asking for will hurt you. For example, you say, God, I need a brand new phone. iPhone 7. I need to harass all my friends. I want to show them that my arrival is here. I've just landed. And God knows, and look at it in time, that if for the next 4 weeks you won't come to church because of your iPhone 7, he will tell the angel, don't give him Nokia 3310. So that I can still be praying. Hallelujah.
Yes,
are you with me? So we see in Psalm
85
verse 10, it says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." These are four different forces that are having a meeting. Somebody with me. The first two is mercy and truth. They are met together. There's no way you can marry somebody without meeting that person. Maybe some of extreme cases you meet online, and then most times you meet and then you decide and then you agree. Mercy and truth here they came together to hold a meeting deliberately, consciously, for a purpose. Is somebody with me this morning? Mercy and truth. Let's assume Mercy is a female, Truth is a male, and Sister Mercy and Brother Truth are met together. What are they going to do? They are going to talk, isn't it? And then come to an agreement. Brother Truth says, "Sister Mercy, you know, you are the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. When I look at you, I can breathe." Even though that's asthma anyway. Say, look at your nose. That looks like the road that leads to Galilee. I just love you." So Brother Truth starts toasting Sister Mercy. And upon all the toasting, Sister Mercy says, "Forget it. I'm not interested." Meeting ends. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But Brother Truth proposes. He didn't even say much. And Sister Truth says, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." You know, say yes like 20 times. Actually, yes comes out once in the mouth, but inside, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So an agreement is in place, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Something begins from that day. Something is enacted on that day. Something is different. But the truth can no longer function as it was functioning before. There's a change. Sister Mercy can no longer do things on her own. She calls all the time and asks questions and they talk together. She's longing to hear his voice because they have met together and something has been initiated. When mercy and truth mix together over your life, something has to change. Is somebody with me? Something has to begin. A newness has to be birthed. So we see here, the Bible says, mercy and truth are met together. Mercy, because the truth alone won't do it alone. Brother, truth alone will not give birth to anybody. Brother, truth will not get pregnant. Brother, truth cannot conceive by himself. He needs sister mercy. Just like you need mercy. You see, there's a truth of God about your life. Something about your destiny that has been documented in the volume of the books. That which has been established about you, your gloriousness, your destiny, the where you are going, but you can't birth it alone. You need mercy. Somebody shout mercy.
Mercy.
You need mercy. You need mercy. The word mercy, each time you see it in the Amplified Version, you will see favor, kindness. So favor, mercy, kindness can be interchangeably used. Mercy and truth are met together. The reason the truth of some of us have not come to light is not because your truth is not established. Is because mercy has not yet cooperated. Brother Truth will die a bachelor unless Sister Mercy says, "All right, let's come together." Is somebody with me this morning? So we see something in Psalm 44, verse 3. They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because what? You have favor. That's talking about mercy. Your progress in life, your career, your business, the company you want to start, the ministry you want to start, you are not going to get it by your sword, by your hand, by your arm, by your own strength. You need favor. Come on, shout, I need favor.
I need favor.
You are not saying it convincingly. Amplified version of Psalm 44 verse 3. They got not the land of Canaan in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance did it, because you were favorable towards and did delight in them. In Psalm 44 verse 3, Message translation, we didn't fight for this land. We didn't work for it. It was a gift. God will give you a gift. Oh, my. You don't understand the import of that prophetic declaration. I said God will give you a gift. That which you did not fight for. That which you will not labor unnecessarily for. That which you will not sweat over. God will give you a gift. Supernatural gift beyond your imagination. A gift that cannot be debated. A gift that cannot be argued. The kind of testimony that will share itself. God will grant unto you in the name of Jesus. I prophesy over your life as a servant of God over this assembly. God will give you a gift. A gift that you will remember for the next 50 years of your life. Something that will turn your life around. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them. The dream then was a mouth filled with laughter. That which you cause your mouth to be filled with laughter, God is bringing your way. Come on, shout amen! It was a gift. And then the Bible says you gave it smiling. Smiling as you gave it, delighting as you gave it. So we see what mercy will do in the life of truth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, I returned and I saw under the sun. Are you under the sun? That the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise. Message translation says, I took another walk around the neighborhood and realized that on this earth as it is, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. You see, the truth about your life has been documented, but it won't become achievable by your swiftness, or being nimble, or being fast, or being smart. So I say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a very smart boy. In fact, I used to eat Smarties. The race is not to the swift. Nobody gets anything done by smartness.
Yes, sir.
It is the help of God, the mercy of God, and the favor of God. Receive that help in the name of Jesus. Every struggle ceases in your life from today in the name of Jesus. Your life is documented. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. These thoughts of God are in his heart. They are in his heart for you. They are documented for you. They are his plan, his template for your life. Is somebody with me? Let's look at another translation here in Message translation. God says, I know what I'm doing. And let me tell you, neighbor, God knows what he's doing. Have you ever been in a situation at times, you look at your life, you look at your environment, you look at your bank account, and you're just confused. What is going on about my life? I'm a born again child of God. I pay my tithes. I give my offering. I give prophet offering. I seize the moment. I pay. I give to the poor. I give to my parents. I give to everybody giveable. I do everything. I fast. I pray. Oh, Lord, what's going on? God says, I know what I'm doing. See, your life is a script.
Yes, sir.
It's a script. You are just acting it out. Some of you are just in chapter 1. Don't give up, because that which is good is waiting for you in chapter 2. Is somebody with me? Tell your neighbor, don't pack your bags yet. Don't give up on God yet. Hold on to the arms of the altar, because God is coming for you. Hallelujah. So he says, I know the thoughts that I think so what you say, the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Message translation says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you and not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you are hoping for. In the contemporary English version translation, it says, I will bless you with a future filled with hope. A future of success, not of suffering. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, there's no suffering in your future. And your neighbor says, forget it, but you are suffering now. It's possible you are suffering now. The Bible acknowledges that. He said, after you have suffered a while, a while should not be too long. If the suffering is trying to become permanent, then something is wrong somewhere. Is somebody with me? Are you with me? Suffering for Christ, it's not like you're in poverty, you're in lack, you don't have anything. Say, I'm just suffering for God. No. Let me tell you what is suffering for God or suffering for Christ is. Let's assume at the place of your work, they said they are going to give everybody 2 million naira each. But before they can give you, you have to come together in a meeting. You see, a meeting again. You come together in a meeting, and then you are going to sign some things and tell some lies, and then say some goods didn't go out, these goods, and then do some things, and then you have 2 million. And say, no, I cannot do that because I'm a child of God. So you see your colleagues getting 2 million, 2 million, 2 million, and you getting nothing. That can really be intense. It's not easy on the flesh, but you stay on the path of it, integrity. That is suffering for Christ, because you are standing upon the word and you are refusing to compromise. Are you with me? He said, after a while, those people will envy you, because God will lift you up. What is suffering for Christ? All your five friends with whom you graduated together, they are doing aristo, collecting money, 100k every weekend, sleeping with men, messing around. You are born again, you say, never, I won't do that. And it looks as if you, that you are serving God, nothing is working, no brother is showing up, nobody is looking your way. That is suffering for Christ. It's not going to be long. After a while, He will establish you. He will settle you. Glory to God. So that is that. That is just by the way. So now, God has thoughts about us. And we understand from the scripture as well that God actually held a meeting before you were born. Do you believe that? Before each of you were born individually, God had a meeting. And in that meeting, God said, this one, this is our purpose on earth. This is what He will do. Now listen carefully. If you follow the script of God, you stay with Him in relationship, you stay away from sin, that script will be acted out. And that greatness and gloriousness will become a reality. Because that is your purpose. Are you with me? Sometimes you are studying a particular course in the university and it does not resonate with you. It could just be that it's not your purpose. But the intent is not for you to jump out of school, finish what you are doing, give yourself self-development in the area of your purpose. It will still work out. Are you with me? How do you know your purpose? What you have been created for? It's where you have passion for. What you have passion for. If they wake you up in the night, what are you going to do without thinking? That won't look like work. That others are complaining is work. But for you, they're just enjoying yourself. That's purpose. Whatever you do, that they call you 12 a.m. say, can you help me to do this? I'll bring it. You just enjoy. That's your passion. If you have to get to your place of work sad, depressed, disconcerted, looking like leukocyte, sitting in your office like sitting room, as cool as cucumber, you're out of purpose. You're out of purpose. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When you are in purpose, you will be beautifully enjoying that which you are doing. Are you with me? My purpose is what I'm doing right now. I can teach from morning to evening, I won't get tired. I can talk and talk and talk. Whereas one-on-one, I could be very shy. If I don't know you, I'm just looking at you. Say, is this person doing that? Yes, he's the one. I'm different with the people. Praise the Lord. If I know you, yes, we'll talk. But if I don't know you, I'll just meditate. Praise the Lord. All right. The Bible now tells us in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, telling us the kind of meeting God had before you were born. I want to show you. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Can you believe that? Oh, Lord God Almighty. At that point when the sperm meets the egg and it fertilizes it, it was just a dot. The full stuff from your Bible is bigger than it. You need special lens to take a look at what you were at the point of conception. And God said, before that point, I knew you. That's powerful. Before that point, I've documented your life. That when you get here, you're going to live for 90 years. You're going to marry this person. You're going to be geographically located in this city. And as long as you stay consistent with God, are you with me? Everything will be beautiful. It gets really awry, really gets chaotic when you step out of God's way. The Hebrew word for sin is chita. It means to miss the mark. You see, when He has fashioned you out before your mother's womb, there's a mark, there's a path carved out for you. If you follow that path, you'll be good. If you step out through sin, you miss the mark. It becomes a problem. You can take one step missing the mark, and then it's like 10 steps backward, 5 years lost because of a wrong decision. If God had a meeting about your life before you were conceived, I think it's important you keep having meeting with that God to know where you're supposed to be in life. I think it makes sense. Before I found thee, before your dad and mom ever met, people of God, say, oh, well, I was born in a dysfunctional house. I was born through rape. Forget about all that. How you came is not the issue. The reality is that you are here now. And because you are here, nobody is a mistake.
Yes,
before I formed thee, I knew you. So you go back to God in the meeting. God, who am I? Tell me. Show me what you have documented about my life. When I was on campus, at the age of 25, I began to see the reason why God created me. He began to show me as I began to ask him. I began to pray with Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call upon me and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And God began to open my eyes. I will see myself. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't a ministry. I didn't even know what it means to be called. The first time somebody mentioned called, I said, called, give me Jebe. I don't know anything about ministry. And yet God began to show me. I will see myself in ministry. I will see myself in crusades. I will see myself in large meetings declaring the word. God was showing me what he has documented about my life ever before I came. Before my mom went on to be with the Lord when I was just 16 years old, laid hands on me, got me born again, got me filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he told me, you're going to be a pastor. I said, no, mommy, I want to be a businessman. I love money. He said, you will be a pastor. And then she went ahead and said something I don't understand. He said, it's a covenant between her and God. That will be a pastor. I said, we shall see. I was doing everything possible not to be a pastor. I wanted to be a businessman. Somebody has promised me it's going to give me some money to establish after school. It's going to do all of this, all of that. You know, you can't run away from God.
Yes, sir.
You can't escape from God. Escaping from God is trying to escape from yourself. Can you do that? Can you escape from yourself? It's only death that can make you escape from yourself. Are you with me? Something has been documented about your life. You can't live irresponsibly. Get to campus, join court. Irresponsible life. That is not part of the documented stuff about your life. Going on the street and I'm going to buy Maraga. It's not part of the script. Shh. It's not part of it. On a Sunday morning. It's not part of it. You are deviating. Going after prostitutes is not part of the script of your life. Unnecessary hardship, poverty is not part of the script. Is somebody with me this morning? Oh, I've got to round up my time. Now, the Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. His assignment was concluded before he was conceived. Your purpose in life is not a decision, it's a discovery. It's not what you decide, it's what you discover that has been established already. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Look at another translation. In verse 5 and before, before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you. If anybody is disapproving of you, it's too late. Let me tell somebody, it's too late. God already approved me. That's why I'm here.
Yes,
if you're alive and breathing, God already what? Approved you. As my chosen instrument, and before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Message translation says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Tell your neighbor, God knows all about you. Some of you that think God has abandoned you, God knows you. Tell your neighbor, God knows your number. Tell your neighbor, God knows where you were yesterday night. God knows where you were yesterday afternoon. God knows where you were in the morning. 2 days ago, God knows where you were. 3 days ago when you were doing that thing. God knows where you were. Hallelujah. Somebody's saying that right now, actually. Now, okay, so if I'm doing all this bad stuff and nothing bad has happened to me, God has not killed me, then then it's mercy. It is by mercy that we are not consumed. If not that mercy said no, you will have died a long time. The devil is standing with a big cutlass to cut off and decapitate yourself. Mercy will say, shut up, get back.
Hallelujah.
This guy is still going to fulfill purpose. The devil said, but he's smoking. Leave it. We are working on him. Mercy said, no, he's not going to die. It's not time for him to die. He will repent. He will come back to God. He will find purpose. Come on, shout amen. He says in Message translation, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had only plans for you. A prophet to the nation. That's what I had in mind for you. So we see that the path is carved out, but we often derail. We miss the mark, and the journey is slowed down. Destinies are swallowed up when there's a mistake. Samson could not fulfill destiny because he just got out of that past and started doing his own thing. You see, the only way out in your life right now, because we have established, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, the truth about your life was established. The only way out now, people of God, is for mercy to collide with that truth. Are you with me? The truth about your life is not going to come to light by just sitting down, hoping. There must be an interplay with mercy. Oh Lord God, mercy and truth must sit down and hold a meeting over you. But that's not the only meeting. Because the next statement in Psalm 85 says, righteousness and peace have done what? They have kissed each other. Wow. Truth and mercy met. Those ones are spiritual, born again. Brother Truth, Sister Mercy. But righteousness and peace, they took it to a romantic level. They kissed each other. And we all know what kissing does or where it leads to. Don't you know it? It leads to an intercourse. Then it leads to conception. Then it leads to pregnancy. Then something is birthed. What is righteousness? Righteousness simply means right living. Where you get to a place and you say, I will not be involved in any habitual sin in my life. And when you make a mistake, you fall into sin, you ask for forgiveness immediately and you don't go back there. Are you with me? That is righteousness. Righteousness isn't pretending in church, going back to sleep around, do all kind of stuff, steal, cheat, mess up, do all kind of stuff, abort and do that. No, it's right living. The kind of life that fears God. Is somebody with me?
Yes, sir.
So this right living must have a romantic experience, a romantic meeting with peace. In other words, peace will not become a reality until righteousness is in place. Now, when righteousness is in place, it will attract peace because they are in love. Oh, you are not here with me. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. That means they are in love. Are you with me? You can't go on the road and then call one and say, come here. There's going to be a problem. If it's a man doing it for a lady, the lady will slap him. If it's a female doing it for a man, he will just calm down first. What's going on? Hallelujah. Righteousness is in love with peace. So when there's right living, peace will come into your life. And if peace doesn't come, there can't be a kissing, there can't be an intercourse, there can't be something that is perfect. So, right living is a key. The moment right living is in your life, it will attract shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. It's a sense of wholeness that comes over your life and destiny, surrounding you with peace. They come into your compound. Armed robbers stole from everybody except your own. That's shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now I release that into somebody's life this morning. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life in the name of Jesus. Supernatural protection for you in the name of Jesus. But see, right living is what attracts peace. The moment you're in right living, peace will know, because peace is in love. Peace is looking for right living everywhere, looking for righteousness. Where's righteousness? Where's brother righteousness? I'm in love. So he sees right living in your life. Oh, peace comes. Here we are. This is where I want to tabernacle. I will stay here forever. Let's kiss. Let's smooch. Let's make love. Let's romance. Let's have an intercourse. Let's bath some prosperity, some greatness, some visas, some open doors, some supernatural jobs. Is somebody with me this morning? So we see in that scripture that the moment mercy and truth meets, the next thing is that righteousness will kiss peace. And then in verse 11, the truth about your life will spring out. Oh God Almighty. The truth of why your life has always been there. Just like when you plant a seed, it has always been there under the ground. Where is this thing I planted? When is it coming out? What's going on? But one day, what will happen? It will just spring out. No matter how hard the ground is, boom! That's how the truth of your life will spring out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mercy and truth must meet. Righteousness and peace must kiss. And then the truth about your life will spring out. Look at the next statement. It says, then righteousness will look down from heaven. That is the reign of God. The benevolence of God cooperating with the truth that is springing out, watering it, bringing it to blossoming, bringing forth fruit that will endure. Are you with me? And then verse 12, which is the final verse before we close. He says, yeah. Can we read together? Yeah. The Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield and increase. I declare over somebody in this house this morning, the Lord will give that which is good for you in the name of Jesus. You see, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now they have intercourse. Now they got pregnant. And then they have that baby. That baby is that which is good. Because after all that is done, they say, yeah. After all this has been done, yeah. After this, yeah, the Lord will give that which is good. So, I know there's a truth about my life. I keep on crying for mercy, because mercy must collide with that truth. The next thing, that's the first meeting. The second meeting is righteousness and peace. Right living takes sin away from my life. I'm not going to mess around, sleep around. I'm not going to cheat on God, try to do this and do that, try to pretend. I take all that away from my life. The moment I do that, sister, peace will locate the right living in your life, kiss each other, impregnate each other, and then, yeah, the Lord will give that which is good. Stand up on your feet this morning.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.